Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 What you gonna do? His name, we have talked about his birth
and we have talked about his childhood, and we have talked about his adulthood, and now we're into his ministry. And so I will be with you on the clock, 45 minutes. And so I will now announce those numbers that will direct you in to the studio. And those numbers are 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. Those numbers again are 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. And I just want you to get you a good seat, get your pillow to position your posture, and just get comfortable, get your notepads, your iPads, your iPods, and all your digital wear that you want to go along with me and maybe take notes, and you will be so just graciously welcome to do so. And we're talking about Jesus, because a lot of us don't know about Jesus. We just heard of him, and we have, you know, listened to him on the radio, might seen some movies about him at the theater or, you know, at the privacy of your home. But we're just, like I said, we're coming across these airways and given a history of who Jesus is. And we know that Jesus is alive and well. He's no longer in that grave. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just want to go within the realm of where I'm going on tonight, and that is inside of Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty, wonderful Father. Thank you. And so we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus' ministry. And I think I'm going to step away from the mic momentarily. Would you excuse me, please, ma'am? Thank you so kindly. All right, so we're going to go on into the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we were told, I think, that we know Jesus was just minister. He was in the flesh of man, and he ministered to all of those that he come in contact with, and Jesus became very popular in his ministry. Hallelujah. And so we are going to continue where we left off last evening, and I didn't make any notations, but I'm just going to go on as the Lord would lead me to do so. Hallelujah. And just asking your prayers, because we know that we all need prayer in this time and era in which we live. We need prayer. We need much prayer. Hallelujah. But anyway, like I said, so you pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you as I bring unto you the divine word of God. And we were talking about on last program about the Jewish leaders, that they was beginning to grasp something of Jesus that was extraordinary. And they claims about himself, as they accused him on several occasions, of blaspheming. For example, John recounts a confrontation, and Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus responded to the push this teaching about himself still further. Calling himself the Son, he said he could do nothing by himself, but only what he see the Father doing. He talked of the love of the Father and for the Son, and how the Father could raise him from the dead, and the Son too could give life to whom he pleased. And Jesus was claiming for himself divine prerogative and went on to list among these the facts that the Father had given him the right to judgment, and that all my honors the Son just as thou honor the Father. One of the clearest expressions of his claim was deity is found in the so-called statement, I am. And when Jesus claimed to exist before Abraham and said, before Abraham was I am, he was making a reference to Yahweh himself. Hallelujah. Exodus 3 and 14. And again, the religious leaders saw this as blasphemous, claimed to be God, and took up stones to throw at him. Jesus also caused people to begin to think of him as the Messiah. From preaching about the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy to the synagogues, through his performing of wondrous miracles, everything was causing the normal Jewish people to think of him as the Masonic figure. However, he also taught bit by bit that the usual understanding of the Messiah as a political warrior would defeat the Romans and rule in Jerusalem. And it says, was not part of his calling, but he concentrated on revealing himself as the suffering servant of his people. And in his discussion with his disciples, some have suggested that his preference, self-designation of the Son of Man, was deliberately chosen so he could fill it with his own definition of his role as the Messiah. And then Jesus also told about that he would suffer and die. Following Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, we read in the law of Mark 8 and 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man, hallelujah, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers, hallelujah, of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, he would rise again. But that reminds us of the Son of Man who came into the presence of God in the prophecy of Daniel 7 and 13. Perhaps it was that picture that Jesus had in mind, hallelujah, when he said to the Jewish leaders at his trial, from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 22 and 69. Now, when Jesus showed his authority, and it was always of the highest possible kind, whether he was talking to the authority the Father had given him to judge the world. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 5 and 27. Or if it was talking to the authorities over demons, that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 1 and 27. And then Luke 7 and 8, that he demonstrated in his miraculous work among the people. And it was clearly an authority not possessed by others. And it was derived from heaven alone. The more Jesus' teaching about himself is examined, the more inevitable becomes the deduction that here was a perfect man who was also God. Belief and trust in Jesus. God and man and in his work and works and teaching has become the basis for the Christian faith ever since. Now, we have seen how Jesus has taught to his close and intimate relationship with the Father, but he also taught much about the Father himself. And we are told that the Father, God, is the creator of the world. That can be found in the law of Mark 13 and 19, who continues to sustain the world and care for it in his providence. That's Matthew 10 and 29. And it is the Father's will that is sovereign and must be followed at all points, even by Jesus himself. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 26 and 39. It is the Father alone who knows the final day, the day of Christ's return. Matthew 24 and 36. But Jesus taught of the God fatherhood of individual people, not just in some general sense of being the father of the nation of Israel. The Jewish people certainly understood the fatherhood of God in this last sense. But Jesus insisted on the possibility of an individual relationship with the Father was newly emphasized. It is, of course, expressed in the first line of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 6 and 9. And what Jesus taught was that it is possible to know the Father through the knowledge of Jesus. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 14 and 6 through 7. When talking to Mary after the resurrection, Jesus spoke of my Father and your Father. The direct concern for the individual believer was taught by Jesus in a number of places. And the Father is also concerned for his children's need, even down to their food and their drink, that Jesus encouraged them that they should not be concerned about tomorrow. That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 6 and 31 through 34. And we know that Jesus also taught that there is a special relationship between God and Father and the kingdom of God. The Father who prepared the kingdom for the disciples of Jesus since the creation of the world will give the kingdom to them. The righteous are the ones who will enter it and will inherit its blessings. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 13 and 43. And then Luke 12 and 31 through 32. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus' teaching about his Father's kingdom, the kingdom of God, would provoke considerable debate among the scholars. And we know that it's important to notice in Jesus' teaching in the law of Matthew 4 and 17 and then Mark 1 and 15. Luke 4 and 13 referred to either as the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel or the kingdom of God. Jesus taught that the kingdom was present, near, and related directly to his coming. Hallelujah. He said, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Hallelujah. He also taught that it was future and would be inherited by his disciples. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Matthew 25 and 34, Luke 11 and 2, then 22 and 18. The kingdom of God is primarily a description of the dynamic rule of God over this world. It's seen especially in the good news of the coming of the Redeemer, King Jesus. In Jesus' life and ministry, that rule was directly expressed by and revealed to those who had the eye to see who Jesus was. Not all were able to see the truth of the kingdom. Indeed, Jesus' use of parables to teach about the kingdom make it clear that understanding came by revelation. That's in the law of Mark 4, 10 through 12. Jesus the King was present among the Jews and the Gentiles alike and taught that he had all authority. He even had power over demons. Hallelujah. However, interest to and possessions of the kingdom and all his blessings is limited to those who acknowledge that Jesus as Lord. As for God's forgiveness for their sins and commit themselves wholeheartedly to serve him. Jesus made this point only too clear to the religious leader of his day when he said to them, I'll tell you the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. The tax collector and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collector and the prostitute did, and even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 21, 31 through 32. And the parable that then followed showed how the leaders were rejecting the king who has now come, just as their ancestors had rejected his prophets. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that the present nature of the kingdom is such that it works quietly among men and women as people are drawn to acknowledge the redeeming king. By But at the same time, Jesus looked forward in his teaching one day this rule of God would be manifest to all people. It is important to see here that Jesus never reduced the full sovereignty and authority of God over all people. Whether or not they acknowledge Jesus as Lord, however, being part of the kingdom, sharing in it, and enjoying the manifest blessings of being a member through faith in Christ is limited to God's people. At the start of the age to come, however, which will begin when Jesus returns, then as the Apostle Paul put it, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth. That scripture reading is found out aloud, Philippians 2 and 10. At that time, as the king fully revealed himself to all people, he will be seen to be a king who is faithful to his people and who will judge the unrighteous to eternal damnation. Those who have rejected the offer of the kingdom through the coming of Jesus and have thus turned their backs on the loving God who has reached out to them will stand under the judgment of the king. Time, as Jesus taught about the kingdom, he warned of the future days of judgment and of the different experiences of the righteous on the day and those who have never turned to Christ. That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 13 and 37. Hallelujah. And we're told in the Old Testament, they had looked forward to the time when God would establish his rule on earth. That rule would be perfect and establish a whole new order. God will redeem his people, Israel, and judge all evil. Jesus taught that God was now acting as saving and redeeming. The God for the Messiah, the Masonic age, had come upon them. He was the Messiah. Jesus invited people to accept the kings and the kingdom and did this by calling upon people to repent of their sins and return to God. But the final consummation of that kingdom and the full inheritance of his blessings were reserved for Christ's return in glory. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 24:30-31. Followers of Christ will pray your kingdom come. That scripture reading is found, hallelujah, in the law of Matthew 6 and 10. Because they look forward to seeing the returning king and to the day when he will be fully revealed to all people. They long for the full revelation of Christ's glory and inheriting his promise of eternal life, but also for the full deliverance from evil and sin. Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God was not just limited to certain long teaching sessions or parables when the phrase itself was used, but it was also evidence in Jesus' works, his miracles, and the way he cast out demons, and above all, in his authority to forgive sin. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 7 and 48, and then 81, 6 and 20, then 24 through 26. All right, we will leave it right there. And we will now change the dimension of our program. I hope and I pray that I have said something to magnetize your mind and infuse your spirit as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would like the old ship of society to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your program tonight has been Block Talk Radio. Your program tonight has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. If you have any prayer petitions, you're welcome to call in to that number. Those numbers again are 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. If you have any testimony of miracles that God has performed in your life, then you're welcome to call in at this time. And if there will not be any testimony at this time or any prayer petitions, we're going to go right now into our service of Hymns of Zion. This is to encourage your heart and infuse your mind. And we just want you to be blessed. And you go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
And says, sing this song for me. So you remember how well you used to sing it? He said, no, no, I can't sing that song. Young man looked at him and said, why you can't sing it? You know what he told him? Since you saw me last, something happened to me. Before he left that club that night, he told that young man, I'm glad I can serve you tonight. us have so much to thank God for. No matter what race, creed, color, or nationality, it ain't nothing to thank God for. We are. Too long.